Hello, everyone. Welcome to our series of talks, A New Life with Rob Lightman. Hello, Rob Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And we've been talking lately about money, and we're inviting you to join us. In our previous talk, I remind you that we began to talk about money in the family. We talked about money from all kinds of angles, and we went into the home in our last talk, and we want to continue to develop it. So we took a look at what happened to us in the past dozens of years, and we saw that families became a kind of envelopment to separate units in which each person functions in a certain way. Everybody takes from this joint budget, and everybody takes and uses it for whatever makes them happy or makes them feel good. Maybe the woman buys some clothes and the kids buy toys. Until now, everything was okay the way it was, but now the financial crisis is bringing us to a kind of distress where we need to maybe cut down a little bit, cut back. And now we have new problems that we're experiencing in many families in which the financial crisis increases the problems. And we discussed this in our last talk, but we want to take another step forward today and talk about how we can create connection inside the family. We're talking about connections on all kinds of levels, and we want to zoom in right now and enter a home, a living room, in which we meet family members. And for example, maybe Nitza and I can play husband and wife. Let's say we have three kids. Let's say we are in our 40s. Let's say we have a teenager or a youth and maybe a younger child, and the five of us are family, and we invite you to join us after we've been through workshops on the family household and all kinds of financial consultancy. But what bothers us more than anything is that there's a kind of feeling between us that's not pleasant. There's a vibration here that is unpleasant. It's not nice. It's not a nice feeling to be in this family. So we feel like it's going to break down completely, and we want to stop this breakdown. So now that we know what we need to know as far as household economy is concerned, we want to work on the connection between us. We want to build, just like you recommended in the last talk, to build between us a strong internal connection that will create inside our home a kind of warmth, a good emotion that will put us back together once again. I think this is the purpose of our talk. Right, Nitza? Certainly. Okay, what does this mean? Me, as the organizer who's bringing a recovery or healing to this family, I understand from above that all of the problems that we are experiencing in this one global family, which is all of humanity, and also the small families, which are the cells of this one big family, all of these problems are happening because we don't have this connection in order to compel us to connect. This is why all of these problems are happening, so that they'll force us to unite. So when I look at all the different places of distress in social society and the private family, I see them as the reason for connection. I don't look at the economy itself or all the different forms of the problems that we see everywhere as independent as if they have some independent life. All in all, they're a reason that has come to force us to connect, because we are opposite, we are different from the global integral nature that is demanding from us in its development, its evolution. It's demanding connection from us, to be in balance, to be suited to nature, to be connected together. And we call it being as one man in one heart, so-called, which means to be connected into this one mechanism, which is integral, which is analogic. And feeling all these problems and troubles is really only because we are not suited to nature. And so if we connect, we decrease all of these problems until they completely disappear. All we lack is connection. And if we started connecting from the start, then these problems wouldn't have occurred. And if they do occur, then it's only to indicate or to aim us and point to our lack of connection in all kinds of places, especially where especially this connection needs to exist and does not. Therefore, when we look at the family, we don't need to think about its economy. We don't need to think about even health problems, any problems. There is only one problem, the problem of connection. So this is actually the source, and everything else is only to compel us to connect. So all of the exercises, all of our activities in the family, they all need to be only in order to cause connection between the members of the family. And out of that, to show an example to wider connection beyond the family, to the neighborhood, to the town, and to the entire world. So in the family, it's easier to build connection because we're tied together and we depend on each other emotionally as well as in terms of our natural commitment to each other. And therefore here we have a basis, this connection between us, which we need to transfer to this good emotional mutual connection, mutual responsibility, mutual guarantee. And if we succeed at it, in the moment that we succeed, we'll begin to see how the family suddenly blossoms, how it feels that all of its lacks, all of the problems disappear. So in accordance to that, we need to create such activities. We call it workshops. Where we bring them to talk amongst themselves, first of all, to discuss what is each and every person's nature, in what form are they connected, to first of all to understand the current state and how egoistic each and every one is. It's okay, we're talking about things. We need to bring them up to, as much as possible, to an objective view of themselves and of everybody else. That this is the nature of man, of woman, of kids, of parents, each one towards the other, including maybe grandparents. Let's take, say, three generations in the family. And so we actually bring them to being a little bit of psychologists for themselves, to learn who are they, what are they, what is man, what is the family, what is the connection that needs to be there in the family, what is it for, what it, was it established for, what kind of changes did the family go through since the days thousands of years ago until today. And why is it that through technology and this new modern life, the family suddenly began to fall apart? How has technology and science and foreign social networks entered the family? And how has natural culture been destroying the connection between family members, disconnecting children from their parents and the parents themselves, how they're each living their own life and not the life of the family? Hardly. People don't want to get married, and suddenly they're willing to connect. A man and woman decide, we'll live together. In a little while, They don't feel like it, they break apart, and so on. But we're talking already about the family in which we have both a father and a mother and children. And still, why are we talking about all these forms of families or connections that we see these days between the sexes? Because at the basis of the family is a connection, a sexual connection between a man and woman. Why do we need to talk about all these forms? Because we need to see all the different variety of connections, the different shades of color of connections between people, closer, farther away, that we're in the family. You see all these different forms of connection, where in between a man and woman, although they can be married, but maybe between them connections, the relations are of such a type that they're only living together under the same roof because they have no choice. And there is also connection with the children, but it can be either a very warm and dependent, a mutual dependent feeling, and then you have more formal connections to such an extent that you hardly know and what's going on with the kids. You hardly see them. You wait until they grow up and leave, and the kids also wait for that, and more. So then we need to learn all of these forms through the workshops, through short conversations, examples, all kinds of video clips and things that we can add to them from all of from all over the internet. There is enough. There's no lack in them. And then to progress towards ourselves and see what is it in our family. What kind of family are we? Are we a family that lives formally, man and woman that lives together out of no choice, that we're practically strangers for each other? Or are they relatives? Are they close? Are they in actual togetherness? There are many families that have even different bank accounts. The man has his own bank account and the woman has her own bank account. And even the children have their own. And they give them some money and they put it in their bank account for them to do whatever they want with it. Or is it a little more connected, communal, and how is the family run? Who is in charge of what? Does the mother run the entire family, or the father, or both of them in connection between them? Do they do it together? Where are the pressures in the family on the part of the kids and the part of the parents? There are kinds of lacks of balance. Where are the lacks of an agreement, of lacks of connection, that they're not at the center of the family, all of them, and fed from it, and they don't bring all the problems to the center and all of the good relations? No, each one is at the sidelines and drawing to himself from others everything he needs, and is not minding the others. So we need to show them what is this system, this emotional, committed, mutual relations. Does it exist here or not? Do we have here between us a real system of ties, of dependencies? Where is it exactly? These are topics for workshops. What are we dependent on each other? Where? And what are we committed on What are we committed to? So, okay, it's one thing what we say, but what we do in actuality is different. So these discernments, these scrutinies, are what make us more mature and more understanding of our way, our form of existence. If we are one body, then it's through difficulties, hardships that come from the outside, then we need to connect and we need to bond. Just like a city where a foreign army attacks it and the city wants to defend itself. This army wants to occupy it. So immediately everybody comes together, they build a stronger wall, all kinds of systems of defense and so on. Is this the way that we relate to all the troubles like sheep, for example. When the wolves come, then the sheep immediately they gather together, and then it's harder for the wolves to come closer to them, even for the wolves. They always wander around them and circle them and see whether a sheep is not exactly connected to the others, and then they take it. This is what we call, are all our desires, thoughts, are they all connected together? If they'll be connected to the center of the family, then we won't feel the problems, the external problems, because we'll feel how they are helping us connect. And through that, we protect ourselves. Or the opposite of trouble arrives, and each one harms somebody a little more and somebody else a little less. If we don't accept each and every trouble as a mutual problem that belongs to everyone, but one that belongs more to the other and less to the other, then all the problems that come will actually show us where we need to enlarge our connection, to expand our connection. So we already are beginning to relate to our efforts in a way that we're building the family, and that all of the external negative pressures only come in order to show us the lack of correction, the lack of connection between us. If really our direction is, our trend is to be connected, to understand from the start that connection is the general plan of nature, and therefore the global crisis, everything that's happening in the state, everything that's happening in the family, it is all actually one nature. It has one nature and one reason to bring us, all of us, also in the family, also in the state and the world, to connection that is mutual. So we build out of that a lot of such workshops, short workshops. Each workshop is a discernment or scrutiny of one aspect, one way of lack of connection and connection. This kind of angle and that kind of angle of the family. On part of the children, on part of the parents, everybody together. If we build such exercises together, very short ones, that a person will be able to stand according to the time, to how we present it to him, according to the way that it's presented. It needs to be a little humoristic. He needs to learn from it about himself. He needs to see such examples on TV. I'm constantly saying that we need to give it to them that way. So then such series will educate them. What's happening here with us, as opposed to what we see there. We're seeing an example of such a family. And that's actually the educational platform that we operate. And so we need to see if really families that connect to us and work with these examples that we give them through the television series, maybe short programs, 20 minutes, 30 minutes each evening. What kind of changes do they go through? What kind of questions? Have them send them to us, and then we'll be able to give them workshops on what they recommend for us to discern. We'll receive from them a lot of such topics, new topics, that we did not take into consideration. We will take similar families with similar problems and put them together, say 5 families, 10. 10 men and women. For them to talk together. And then we'll do it together with children, maybe, or children apart. Outside, besides the parents of the similar ages, more or less, it will be interesting how they speak amongst themselves and how we will work with them. And after such workshops, we'll understand and investigate what is the benefit they get from it. Is it just an understanding or also connection that is caused? And then each one that understands the other more, and each and they all understand each other. Then they don't get startled by any negative event, every negative trigger that comes to them, but they begin to relate to things in a way that they understand more, they're more creative, they see what they need to correct then in everything. Where everything that comes to us actually shows us our places of weakness, where we need to get stronger. And then after, at the end of the day, after such a series of workshops, we'll have a statistics. We'll have a summary. What happened in these families? Do they feel themselves to be more happy? How much this influences them in their health? And how the pressure, anxiety, violence, lack of satisfaction from life, even their feeling of wealth, both wealth and happiness. They should feel themselves that they've suddenly, generally, something better. For everything. Suddenly, those who are overweight lose weight. Suddenly, all kinds of problems disappear in health and with the kids, with all kinds of behaviors they have, and so on. And we'll use the statistics to show the results, our results, and to show how much this is good. Let's begin maybe to do this as a wider connection in neighborhoods, between homes, because all in all, everybody's talking about the same thing. So let's first do this in a studio and then in the neighborhood, just like we have round tables. Let's do it like that. So just like we did this in the family, let's also make this happen in the neighborhood for them to create all kinds of networks of help. We've already talked about this. So I see here a development, a gradual development, and a lengthy one. Can I ask? Yes, please. Oh, you said many, many interesting things here that I'd like for us to develop, if that's okay. First of all, you said that we need to check, our family needs to check. What kind of family are we? Are we a formal family? Do we just live together or are we close to each other? Can you give me an exercise to attack this point? Are we a formal family or are we close? But not just for the couple, but for everybody. Now we're in a family phase. This depends on how much we're together. How much do we talk? For in my family, for example, when the kids were small, and also my son was at home, he would come on Saturday. He used to go to... And on Saturday, we would eat together. And we all lived in one room, in the kids' room. He was at a boarding school. He came on Saturday, and we would sleep in this one room. Everybody had these mats. Everybody slept together. Until today, the kids remember this. On Saturday at noon, everybody went to sleep together on these mats in one room. A family experience. First of all, we eat together, and then we go and sleep together in the same room. And then everybody gets up. The girls do what they want, the boys do what they want. and me and my wife do whatever we need to do. But it's just like that. And once we get up, we would go and have tea with cake, and then everybody would go back to doing his thing. But do we have in the family, let's check, something like that that is shared, that we do together, not once in on somebody's birthday, or that has to be, that we have no choice, so everybody cancels his schedule and has to appear as if he's committed to it. No, how do we truly create such events, such things, not just once a week like I had, but many more, much more? Do we connect? Do we discuss together? Do we speak of the economy, our home economy? How do we divide the family salary? What are we going to buy? These are all topics we can connect around. That is why I'm saying that the kids need to participate. How do we maybe do a kind of taking turns in everything? We're not just making someone take out the trash or wash the floor. We do it together. Now, everybody together, prepare the meal. Everybody. We don't have such a thing where you call out to your kids, come and eat. Where are you? No, everybody needs to participate together, and it doesn't matter if it's a man or woman. All of us equally. Each and everything. Do we have such a thing in the family? And afterwards, are all of our commitments in the family, do we also divide those equally? What does this mean? The girls and boys, do they participate in keeping the home clean and whatever is necessary, just like the parents? Why not? They also need to take care of it. Or do they just feel like everybody owes them? And what if they do? Then let's discern it together in our discussions. How do we do that? Why would somebody owe them anything without them taking upon themselves some duty, some commitments as well? Why do we owe them? Each one needs to receive to some extent, and to give to a certain extent. If we're talking about the integral society, then let's learn, what is this integral society inside the family where everything is in balance? I cannot demand more of what I give. Of course, it's in accordance to my age. If it's a baby, then of course he deserves to receive more than he can give. Therefore, it's a mutual connection. It's also this way in human society, where we take care of the small children, even though later they don't pay it back. They give it to the next generation, but in such a way, humanity continues and grows and exists. So, and it's just in the same way that we need to act in the family education. It's all through education, giving knowledge, and afterwards doing workshops. Until, right, it's not comfortable for everybody, but the question is, what do we owe to you? Because you're my dad, what do you mean? So what? You're my dad? Yes, so? So you have the duty to... What? You're committed to me. It's natural, right? Yeah, okay, so I'm your dad. I bought this for you. There is a kilo of meat in the fridge. There's 2 kilos of potatoes. There's bread and tomatoes and cucumbers. Go! And after all these sacks, there's mom, and her job is to cook. Yeah, but we brought it home, and we don't cook. We can't do it alone. If you won't help us, there will be nothing to eat. Just like that? Yeah, why not? You mean all the kids go in the kitchen and cook together? Yes, of course. Hey, it sounds fun. It's an experience. Well, it's an experience on one hand and a duty on the other. It's a duty on the other. Why are you looking at me like this? What do you mean it's a duty? It's fun. And what if it wasn't nice and pleasant? Okay, maybe I won't have be patient towards all of this. Maybe I have school. Ask my wife. She takes our grandson. He's 4 years old. And together with her, he prepares his own food. Together with her. There's no such thing for her to do it alone. She tells him, I can't do it alone. You have to help me. What is the importance here? Connection. Connection. What else do we need? This is the only reason. Otherwise, they disturb you in the kitchen. Then the connection, it's the habit of being together, of doing things together. Okay, I have another something to ask that I'm curious about. You said to put humor in it. Yes, because everything needs to be pleasant. Okay, so tell us something to explain this humor to us. Let's take a situation that's very not humoristic. No, there are such situations. So let's take something and treat it through humor. You said that the basis of these workshops, the ruler according to which you build these exercises, is that each exercise needs to discern a certain aspect of connection and lack of connection. You said once and from the side of the parents, once from the angle of the children, and to also put humor in it. So let's take something challenging. Let's say, until now we talked about the adults, now let's talk about the kids. So from the part of the kids, let's do something that's for their sake. Let the children do everything for the sake of the parents. Yeah, just like that. We're not going on and walking with mom. Well, that's what I'm saying. Everything was for the good of the parents. Now let's do something for the kids and do it humoristically. What do you mean on the part of the kids? You said before that in every such activities, in every exercise, your purpose as a guide is for us to always feel one thing. Discernment between connection and lack of connection, right? Yes. So you also said that we could involve humor in it. So maybe you can give me something now. Until now, you gave responsibility to the kids, something they'll be happy with. I did not drop it on them. I always want to show them that the most important thing is the center of the family. It's like in a group. The most important thing is the center towards which we act and where we feel that we're in the center, where my entire heart is between everybody. And I need to feel myself an inseparable part of everyone. And I act according to the general desire. I think according to the general thought of the family. This is its purpose. Okay, bring me there. Let's say I'm the kid. We're all the family. Let's say something on the part of the kids. You've defined a purpose for me to hear that my heart is between everyone. What kind of exercise can you give us to develop this feeling that my heart is between everyone, that the most important thing is a certain center of the family, like you said? What kind of activity can we do? So we had one activity of cooking together. To cook, to clean, to organize, to speak even. Without doing. Is there something humoristic? This is very interesting for me. You said humor. No, everything needs to be pleasant. Humor could be in a state where we each catch ourselves, how much we escape from something and how much we bring them back, how we criticize each other, but humoristically, lovingly, where we're interested for each one, naturally we see the lacks in the other, not in ourselves. So we want to begin to accept the criticism from another as something beneficial, as something useful, because I don't see it on myself. So can I agree with it or can I not? Again, it's all psychological exercises. So say you're the dad and I'm the kid and you want me to come help. Of course I won't want to. If you gave me criticism, of course I won't agree to it. Why? You do the same. Why? Because our nature is not to accept criticism, of course. It's unpleasant. Right, but if you're correct in your criticism, that I don't see it because of my ego. Let's think of a situation that will be easier to give an example from. So say one of the people in the family ran away from what they needed to do. He's not really directing himself to the center of the family, but he snuck out. He snuck away from his responsibility. So we need all to feel, to all feel the center, to be together. Yes, so a family is called, we have something common between us, and equally, this is called the family. This same shared power, this center between us, that is called the family. And whatever each person does outside of that is not called the family. It's a spiritual term. I have a question, unless you want to continue. Okay, now that when you said that, this reminded me very much a process that you taught us in couples, where you talked about a mutual power, and you said that this mutual power, that's where the relationship is. And now you've expanded it, and you said that this shared power, this is the family. Yes. So in the exercises that we did with couples, you gave us an opportunity to check. What do I want? What are my desires? What are my passions? And then to check, and then to discuss it with my partner. And then we talked about each other's good qualities. We complement each other, and we created this mutual turf. How do we create it here? It's the same here, and even more, where each one dresses himself in the other. I act that as if I'm Oren. Let's say you're my dad, and I'm your child. So we switch places. We act. We do role play. Yeah, I try to think. What does it mean to be like Oren? What, to talk about it? Yeah, how do I see you? Because you don't see yourself. Okay, go ahead. Play it out. Act it out. So as much as I understand, even if it's a kid who doesn't really understand, but let him talk a little bit, as much as he's able, to show what is his father for him. How does he see him? And for to talk in this way and to act this way, and with all of the theater. You don't understand how much this will bring people together. No, they like theater a lot. So, and this is what each and everyone needs to do. Oh, for everybody? Yeah, they need to act everybody's role. So each time you switch roles, once the child, say, acts Oren, and once she acts her mom, or say me, and then they switch. Yes, yes, yes. And also mom and dad can switch. Yes, of course. And also in a partnership, the relationship that we talked about, the couple relationship, that you need to switch roles. And how will you not become insulted if I do this? Because I'm interested in seeing myself from the side, and it's even more important for me to know how you see me. Otherwise will I connect to you? Because we connect between us in this mutual knowingness. Knowing each other, if you think something of me and I think of you, but we don't know how each person sees the other, then we don't have this mutual area. There's no understanding. Where does the understanding come from? From me understanding you. How can I understand you? How can I understand who you are? I can understand through knowing how you see me. Your connection to me. This is actually what I need to know. The difference between how I see you. Between what I need to see and know now about you. This gives to me a completely different picture of the people who are next to me. Maybe I didn't even understand them. Usually we hear this from our wives, that the husband doesn't understand her. But really it's true for each and every one. Is there any place to strengthen where everybody's unique and contributing to the family? Yes, of course, of course. Is this something meaningful? We talk about everything, and yet the direction is always not to criticize, but to build the connection. This is clear. How do you measure that? It all depends on the form in which you say things. So how does a person speak? How does he measure his the way of his speech? How does he measure himself, that he's not diverting towards criticism that is not constructive? What do I need to ask myself before I open my mouth? It should be with love. And if the other does not, you know, sometimes you don't you don't understand what the other is saying lovingly. How can you not become insulted? Get insulted. How do you prepare yourself for such an exercise, a family exercise, so there won't be any insults? It depends on the family atmosphere. It depends on the purpose. We first need to become stronger and understand the purpose that we all see. Is this a preparatory stage to the workshop? Yes. So we need to understand that each of us is an I. Each one of us is a creature. It's a kind of desire, a small egoistic desire. How can we then, despite each one having an ego, pride, how can we go and connect? Each one needs to rise above it, to step on himself a little bit, to make concessions towards the other, to annul oneself, in other words. The easiest thing is to do it in a family, because we have family ties, we have friendship ties, we have concessions, but there are also a lot of emotional baggages in the family. We need to rise above them, to clear them. We need to understand that they are not ours. What does this mean? This is man's nature, and we need to rise above this nature. A mother knows the character of his child, but she loves him with everything. The mother. Yeah, but she has an advantage. She has a maturity. She has... It's not maturity, it's love. Okay, so between the kids. Between the kids, usually, there's competition. They should laugh at the competition between them, how much each wants to harm the other. Wait, explain. Okay, they should laugh at the competition between them? Yes. Which competition? Where I'm constantly trying, thinking, how will I hit you in some way or give it to you in some way? That's what happens. So let's talk about it openly. Why is it like that? Let's talk about it. What are we talking about? How I want to harm you. Really? Yeah, of course. How I'm constantly pushing you to the corner so that I will have what I want. You want to tell me that? Well, they want people to say that to the kids to say to you want to tell this about yourself? Yes, yes, yes. Why not? It's interesting. Very interesting. There's an element of shame here. The kid won't say that about himself. No, me? Of course not. This is also good. We need to bring all these things out into the open. If each one would be integrated in the end from the other, then by that the connection will arrive. First of all, we need... What, Oren? I'm imagining this exercise. Let's imagine this, how I want to harm you. Yeah, you call one of your sons. Tell us, how would you like to harm your brother? In what way? Why did that happen in this way? Why did you do it in this way? Tell us. Each one to discern a little bit in himself that he has impulses which are, they're not really his. It's like a snake sits inside and is constantly pushing you to do these things. By that, you build his character, his personality. You divide them into two, me and the snake. So it's like a round? No, is it a round? Yes. Everybody, humoristically, each one talks of himself, humoristically. Who's the most successful? The one who opens himself and exposes himself the most. Like that, in all kinds of ways. Okay, now as a parent who usually gives personal example, and later, let's talk about each other and say the good things. Oren is so wise. He's so such a special man. And exaggerate for him to feel that it's not exactly. He's so generous. He's willing to help everyone. He's so tolerant. His heart is really aflame with passion, etc., etc. So let's study from this. There's two advantages here. One, I begin to say good things about the other. That's the one. And the second thing is for the other one to hear good things from me. This is absorbed in us, whether we wanted it or not. And aside from that, the other one that I talk about it, the other person I talk about so well, he begins to feel that he's not really that way. It's not that to that extent. Try it with your kids. Do it like in a laboratory at home. You constantly need to. They're probably always fighting each other. So at the first stage, when you humoristically talk about how much you'd like to harm the other, do the parents also say, or only the kids? Everybody can talk about it. So then there are two stages at this exercise. But again, it's on a level that's the average for everyone. Well, the parents are going to talk about some high things in accordance to the ages, to everybody's age. So the most important is for it to be pleasant, humoristically. Right, constantly to point at the connection, to emphasize that all of these actions, do they bring us to connection? Why or why not? I didn't understand. No, I didn't understand how to do this. We want to build a self-examination, self-criticism in kids, for them to be able to look at themselves from the side, to hear the opinions of others without their criticism getting in the way, to hear what others are saying and with an objective ear, to accept it whether they want to or not, and to relate to it objectively. Yeah, I'm this way. What can I do? I am this and this and this way, and therefore I am not accepting this and this and this. If I had been different, I'd accept it. You know, an adult does not relate to life in this way. Does not approach life in this way. But without it, there can be no connection, because the connection between people is in to the extent that I am integrated in you and that you are integrated in me. And so we build this common, this mutual area in which we understand each other, even though we're opposites. This opposition is something that we do not destroy. We only get to know it. Again, we also learn from the wisdom of Kabbalah that we do not destroy our me, our self. We only rise above our me, our ego, and turn it into connection. This means that we take all of my negative attributes and turn it in forms and turn it into positive ones, meaning that all of the negative ways in which I disconnect from you, I transfer them into connection. Can you give an example? In the family. So it's clear to me now that I'm truly constantly under these impulses to harm you, like a child unto another child. Okay, so now I understand where they all come from, all these problems and troubles and clashes between us, that both me and you are in such have such impulses. So we now can, out of these impulses, to build a connection out of them, if we understand that they come to us from inside of us, and we will criticize them from the side, then we'll be able to be in more connected. We will not activate them negatively. I didn't understand. Let's take, for example, what we see with children. They've got jealousy. Why did they buy him that and not me? Why did you bring him that and not me? How did I take this jealousy? That is a separating element and connect, make it into a connecting element. It's not simple. Because if we try and talk about this linear form, but if we're talking about the building of the connection between us, then let's do such a workshop. Again, it's talking around the family round table. And now we're giving Oren a new shirt. Now, everybody's jealous. But let's all of us talk about how jealous we are of Oren. Each one should say, it's going to be interesting at your home. Yeah, it'll be interesting. You will want to wear the shirt later afterwards. Everybody talks about how jealous they are, of course. Okay, now they're finished. So everybody shows. This is called the acknowledgement of evil. Everybody reveals their internal evil. The jealousy. Good. Now, what was this attribute given to us for? You talk about it? Yes. Why? What is the next phase? In order for us to connect through it, all of the evil comes in order to build a good over it. We don't have any good in our world. Our world is all evil. It's all bad. I've created the evil inclination. How do I build anything good? Only by turning this bad into good. The jealousy, for example, right? How do you turn it around? By treating you now in such a way as if I've brought you this gift, you who are jealous, yes. And then I say to the other son, tell him a few words to Oren about how you are now giving him this shirt as a present. How would you do that? Or do this in general in the family? What? That this new shirt that you bought, you should give it to one son so that he would give it to the other son. Now, what does the other son, the one who receives the present, how does he need to respond? What kind of words does he need to say? How does he need to express himself? How does the one who gives him the present needs to respond to that in return? Create a whole theater between them. See how they'll accept it. How will it change them? The more that you'll see that the relationships between them and the more they are opposite as they are now to what you want to achieve, you'll see how they change the relationships between them. He'll feel jealousy, he'll feel anger and hatred because of that, he'll feel that his pride has been hurt, and you need to help him become, from that, to help him rise himself above it and become the giver, the one who bestows. We need to encourage him. We need to give him respect, honor. And then he'll feel that it's not the rag, the shirt itself that's important, but how much through this action he was able to raise himself above it. Imagine to yourself, if instead of the brainwash that we're receiving now on television and on the internet, if we'd received such examples, how humanity would look like. Here we need to think of 1,001 forms. I'm not we have people who are specialists at this. I'm asking a question once again that I asked before, but I didn't feel that I understood all the way. We know that many times for each one of the family members there is a special contribution. For example, there is a child who has a very special sense of humor, and there's a girl who has a developed sense of organization. Do we need to encourage each person's ability, specialty, so that it would he would feel that it contributes to the connection? Yes, exactly. So everything is in relation to the connection. Yes. Oh, maybe we can invent an exercise for that. Can I invent a certain exercise that will give a room for each one? For each one, with his specialty. Yeah, with his specialty. So how do we help a child, for example, to discover the things that are special about him? He's not always aware. Sometimes it's hard to see it. So this is the exercise you want to do, right? First of all, how do you get each person in the family to understand where he's special and how this contributes to the connection between them? So this is the workshop, right? Well, see, you can continue without me. No, the general idea is how to do it correctly. Good, so we've more or less finished this subject, right? Sir, there's another point that I didn't understand yet. We said that when we criticize each other, we need to use humor. And you said that the thing that we criticize is towards getting closer to the center, or if anybody maybe copped out of getting closer to the center. What is this humor? It's when you play him out, act out as if it's you instead. He'll be insulted. If I act you, how you escape from the togetherness, you'll be insulted, won't you? It depends on the atmosphere. I don't think so. It all depends on the preparation. If the purpose is more important and we're playing, then we're acting, then it will be accepted differently. It depends on the ages for children. It depends on the exercise you've done with them before. Okay, we have just another minute for the talk, but I'd like to say one last thing. Let's say we've done something together in the evening. This is a time where people meet. What kind of thought are we all going to sleep with so that tomorrow we'll wake up in the same good spirit? A shared common song. We'll sing together a certain song. Everybody knows it. Everybody likes it. And also maybe a thought, a small thought. You don't need anything else except it. There needs to be a family, not a feeling, not a thought. That we're going to sleep together, not together, but in a warm way, in togetherness. Thank you, Rav Lightman. These are exercises that we just need to go through more and more and more. Otherwise, it will be very hard for us. Oh, well, we'll head towards it warmly. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you, our viewers. And until next time, all the best and goodbye.